Well, good morning. Welcome to Bayside. We're glad you're with us this morning. Things are a little different today, and I hope you're up. Are you ready for a little different? Yeah, okay, that's at least 10% of us. That is awesome. No. Just welcome. Welcome, everybody. It is really good to see you. My name is Mark. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to lift him up. We're here to learn. We're here to come together as one family of Christ. And it's really good to see everybody. If you're a visitor, it's a special welcome. Hope you feel a part of things. It's just good to see everybody this morning. We're going to have the ushers come forward in just a minute to receive the offering. But I want to let you know that in your bulletin, if you grab that, there's a little rip-off, tear-off card. Inside the bulletin's a lot of information on stuff about Bayside or things that may be going on. But right on this little end here is something we call the connection card. And what we'd love to have you do is rip that out, fill that out, and first of all, let us know that you're with us. And then also, you can see on there's a prayer request part of this connection card. And that's really important. We believe that God answers our prayers. We believe that it is there's power when we pray in numbers. And so what this does is this goes to either the staff or the whole prayer chain, and others will be praying with you for whatever is going on in your world. And we all have something, don't we, that we're thinking about that maybe is making us a little anxious right now. And so write those things down on this connection card, and there will be people who will lift that up with you. So fill that out. You can put that in the offering plate as it comes by, or on your way out the door, there's little boxes, little connection card boxes. You can just throw it in there as well. So let's receive our offering. Ushers, why don't you come forward? We'll give back to the Lord. Not a religious thing that we do. This is out of a heart of generosity because of all the Lord has done for us. So let's give back to God because he is such a good and a giving and a generous God. So let's pray for these offerings that this money will go forth and bring the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you today and we are thankful. We come to you with a heart of worship because you are such a generous and a giving God. You gave your best. You gave your Son. Thank you for our salvation today. Father, I pray that, God, if there's anyone here who has not received that ultimate gift by faith of your Son, God, that today would be the day of their salvation. And so, Father, we lift that to you. And, God, we pray for these offerings now that we are going to give. I pray that they would go forth to build up your kingdom, that your message, your good news, your redeeming, rescuing love would go forth into all the different parts of this world, this community, and this world. And Father, of course, we think about our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for their faith. We continue to lift them up to you. We continue to pray for Doug and Mark, Father, in Sri Lanka, as they will be returning now in the next couple of days. Pray that they'd have safe travel mercies. God, we pray for the people of California and Chile, where they're experiencing had earthquakes, Father. We just pray your protection and your mercy and your redemption, Father, in those areas as well. So God, we lift all these things up to you now as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this morning things are going to be just a little bit different. And I hope you're up for that. I've been praying all week that this different would be very positive. And so I know I'm expecting the Lord to do some really good things in light of things being just a little bit different. Don't freak out. I'm not going to ask anybody to come up. At least I don't have plans for that right now. So, my hope and my prayer is that in a little bit of different that we can experience the Lord in a new and a fresh way. That's our desire, amen? That we'd experience the Lord together in a new and a fresh way. I'll tell a little bit more about that in a minute, but if you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series that we have called Just a Little Broken. And we've been looking at times when, you know, we're running in a spiritual race, my friends. That's the picture that the writer of Hebrews gives us in the 12th chapter, that we are like spiritual endurance athletes running a race. And he gets into this idea that sometimes while we're running this race, a little bit of brokenness comes. And maybe that comes through something somebody says that kind of offends us. You've been there, haven't you? Somebody says something or something happens to you that's just a little bit unexpected and it kind of knocks you off guard. And what do we do in these times of brokenness when we're just a little bit broken? And it's very key what we do. So let's read the two verses that this series is based out of. It's Hebrews 12, 12 and 13. Let's read these together, okay? We've been doing this every week. Let's do this again because these are the verses that we want to sort of meditate on all month. So let's read this together. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. You see, he tells us the problem. Sometimes when we're just a little broken, when we're lame, we're all a little lame from time to time. Amen? All right, that's okay. When we get a little bit lame, if we don't deal with that little bit of broken, it turns into a lot of broken. Now, there's three great analogies here, and we've been looking at these one at a time. Here's the three. First of all, it says, lift your drooping hands. And we said the healing process begins with motivation. If you don't want to be healed, if you're somehow comfortable in your discomfort, now that's an odd statement, but that can happen to us from time to time. We get so used to our brokenness, we just live with it and we get comfy there. So the first thing is you got to lift your drooping hands, motivation. Second thing is you got to strengthen your weak knees. We talked about that last week. You got to face your fear. We're going to do that again this week. That's going to be a part of what's different. And then next week, the plan is we'll talk about making straight paths for our feet, which is making a plan. So this week, I didn't have a plan to talk about this facing your fear thing again this week. But I got to tell you, there are times when I'll preach a message and I'll preach it and I'll get done and the next week will be just fine and there won't be any issues. And then there are times when you'll give a message and the Lord will have you apply your own message that week. Now that's a drag, I just got to tell you, because it's way more fun to just speak it than to have to listen and apply what I just taught. Well, I got to tell you something. This week, the Lord, I walked down a path where I had to face an incredible deep-seated fear in my own life. I didn't see this coming necessarily, but this was a deep-seated, and I thought long and hard whether I would tell you what this fear was, and I decided I'm not going to. And the reason is because it's my fear, and what that is really not important because your fear is different than mine. But I will tell you this, and maybe you can relate. This fear kept me up at night. Now, have you ever had a fear like that keeps you up or wakes you up or disrupts your sleep to a point where you are consumed with this? You are, have you ever, raise your hand if you've had that. Hey, thank you, I'm not alone. This fear kept me up at night more than one night. This was something that was not a surface level thing. This was something that was deep. This was core. This got to the very root. And I thought, God, why are you making me apply my message? But I did. And this week I went through a process of facing this fear. And this fear was intense for me. And we all have these fears. We all have something that gets us and that we're deeply afraid of. And many times we just look at the surface and we look at the anxiety and we don't get to the very root fear that's down there. And this week the Lord took me there and I went through this process. And so then I thought, well, why don't we all go through this process then? So this morning what I hope to do, and this process was very good, it was very real, it was very gut level for me. And my hope this morning, and that's going to be part of what is different, I hope that we all go through this process of facing our fear and coming out on the other side of that. And so we're going to do things, like I said, just slightly different. I'm going to give some times of teaching, and then we're going to have some opportunities to reflect on those times via music. And so we're going to have music distributed kind of throughout the morning this morning. And I hope to use those times of music as times to reflect and to think about kind of some of these fears and what we may be going through. Now, I came up with something that I want to actually start with a story. So imagine, put your imaginary caps on, okay? You're preschoolers, and that's a good thing. And imagine you are in Los Angeles, and you are walking through a park at night, and it's starting to get dark, and you're by yourself. And you're walking through this park in the middle of Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, four very suspicious-looking characters start to walk toward you and then actually surround you. Are you with me? If you could yell one word, what would you yell? Tell me. Jesus, that's a good one. What else would you yell? Help, that's another awesome one. What else might you yell?
Are you an angel?
One word, are you? Would anybody yell for the police? Police. If you were in Los Angeles and all, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have the police show up at that exact moment? Now, does anybody know the letters for the Los Angeles police? Does anybody know the four letters? LAPD. There's a hat. This morning, if you were afraid, if you had fear and you were in the middle of Los Angeles, I think you would in some ways welcome the LAPD at your side. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to take those four letters, LAPD, and I want to show you a process of how you can practically face your fear. LAPD, every one of those letters is going to stand for one part of the process. And again, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about one part, and then we're going to reflect upon that. What I want to encourage you with this morning is think about one deep-seated fear in your life. What is one fear that you have that you know is gut level? You know, somebody said most of our fears revolve around one of three things: safety of ourselves or someone we love, security, that could be financial, eternal, or many types of security, or significance. Is my life really going to matter? Do I have any significance? Most of the deep gut level fears that we have revolve around one of those three things. I want you to think this morning, what is one deep fear that you have? And I hope that we, through this LAPD, can identify that fear and then work through the process of overcoming that fear. So let's open in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and first of all, again, we are thankful. God, I would like to ask that you'd be with us in these times now, Father, where we look at facing our fears. God, I would pray that this morning you would do a work deep in our hearts. God, do a work that shows us the process, Father, of overcoming deep fears, Father, with you. And so, God, I would ask that, again, your Holy Spirit would move and act and be with us, and that this would have very practical application for us today. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We worship you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. L-A-P-D. Let's talk about L first. The L. When you are facing a fear, when you are afraid, when anxiety is getting you, the first thing you need to do, L stands for look up. Look up. What does that mean? That means when you are afraid, you need to, for a moment, get your mind and your eyes off of the thing that is causing you anxiety and look up to the Lord. Now, this will not be natural because you and I both know that when you are anxious, when you are worried, the most natural thing to do is to get consumed and wrapped up with whatever it is that you're worried about. You don't want to move from there. There's a part of you that wants to stick in that area of anxiety. And so it takes intentional effort to look up. To look up to the Lord. Let's all say that together. Look up. That is the first thing we need to do. Listen to Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see what that's saying? When you need help, when you are afraid, when you are worried, you lift up your eyes to your helper. But look at what it says your helper has done. Your helper, your God, made heaven and earth. You lift up your eyes and you realize, hang on a minute, this helper of mine, this God of mine, he made everything I see. Do you think he can handle your problems? Do you think he can deal with the thing that you're worried about? Now, you know, these Song of Ascents, these were songs when the children of Israel would walk up the hill towards Jerusalem, and they would literally be looking up at God's creation. Now, I have found at times when you are filled, when you are racked, when you are freaking out with anxiety, there is a benefit to literally going outside and looking at creation. Look at the trees. Look at the sky and the clouds. Look at the hills. Look at the water. And consider the fact that your helper is the one who made those things. The creator of everything that exists is the one that has help for you, the one that holds you in his hand. The first thing you need to do when you are freaked out, when you are worried, when you are anxious, is to take your mind and your effort and your thought and your eyes off of the thing momentarily. We'll come back to that thing. But for a moment, you get your mind off of that, and you look to the hills, you look to the Maker, you look to the all-caring, all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-loving, grace-filled God that is your God. He's not just a God. He's your God. The one that created it all. Can he handle my worries? Yes, he can. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that the all-powerful God who created everything that exists is also my God. So the first thing we need to do is to look up. We're going to have our first time of reflecting via music. Olivia and the team is going to sing The Heart of Worship. And this song says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Now, I want to encourage you in something as we're doing some of these musical interludes. Use them as a time to reflect. We have wonderful musicians. We're going to have some of them this morning. But use these opportunities as a time to reflect on what we're talking about. If the heart of worship is all about him, then maybe you even want to close your eyes and just think on him. We're not going to sing these songs together. We're just going to have an opportunity to think. I want you to take your mind off of what's making you anxious right now, and I want to encourage you to look up. I also want to ask you to do something. When these songs are done, I would ask you to not applaud. There's going to be something inside of you at times that's going to want to show these musicians your appreciation. But for the people who may be reflecting and really talking to the Lord, I'm just going to ask you not to applaud when they're done. I'm also going to come out of each one of these times of music with a prayer. So just hold your applause. Greet the musicians at the end and thank them for what they did. But let's go now to the heart of worship. Jesus, I do thank you that it is all about you. Father, I pray that in those moments when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling worried, when fear is grabbing us, God, I pray that you would give us the reminder to just look up, to take our mind and our heart and our focus off of the situation for a moment and look to the hills, to you as our Maker, the Creator, the all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-loving one that holds us in the palm of your hand, that will never leave us or forsake us. So, Father, give us that reminder to intentionally look up. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we do, L, is to look up. Second thing we do is L-A. A stands for actively surrender. After we look up, we actively surrender the situation in our mind. Now, you got to listen to this carefully. This is the mental process of deciding to give the situation to the Lord. This is a decision we make in our mind to say, God, because you are the all-powerful creator, I decide it only makes sense for me to give this situation to you. Now, I want to encourage you with something. Your feelings at this point have not caught up with your mental decision. So as you are feeling still fearful, as you are still feeling worried and anxious, your feelings may not have changed at this point, but you make a mental decision based on the fact that God the Creator is your helper. He holds you in His hand. Therefore, He can handle your situation better than you can. So you make a mental decision to actively surrender this to the Lord. I realize He is God. I can trust Him. I am not God. He is trustworthy. Therefore, I take this situation that is making me anxious, this ball of nasty anxiety, and I say, Lord, I'm going to give this to You, at least for now, in my mind. Because it only makes sense. If You are who You say You are, and I am who You say I am, then I am going to give this, actively surrender this. This is very important. I say the words, I surrender my will, I decide I can't control this. This is important. We realize that if God wanted to change the situation that is making me anxious, He could. He could have already changed it, but He hasn't. Therefore, I actively surrender. Because He's God and He's sovereign and all-powerful, He could have changed it. He hasn't. Therefore, His will. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This to me is the most powerful, active surrender in the history of mankind. I have never seen a greater active surrender to the Lord's will in a situation than this that we're going to read about Jesus right before He would go to the cross. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." Now, have you ever been in that kind of anxiety where you thought, "I don't even know if I can go on? This situation is racking me to a point where I don't even know if I can keep going." That's how anxious Jesus was in these moments. "Even to death, remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, He fell on His face and prayed, and we've heard these words, but let them resonate into your heart. Saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The cup of God's wrath that Jesus was about to drink as He would become the sin of the world within hours. The cup of God's wrath, the sin of all mankind that would come upon Christ, He didn't want to drink it in His flesh. No one could blame Him. He didn't want to drink that cup. Nevertheless, look at what He said. "Not as I will, but as You will." This was an active decision that Jesus was making to surrender. He was deciding that this was God's path for Him. Therefore, He was accepting it. The most powerful, profound moment, I believe, in the history of mankind of actively surrendering one's will to the Father. Actively saying, "This is Your path. I surrender to this." Jesus was deciding to give it over. Now, was Jesus feeling good at this point when He was actively surrendering? Had His feelings caught up with His decision? I would say no. How do we know that? He went back two more times and prayed this exact same prayer. That means His feelings had not caught up yet. It also says that after this, He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood that fell to the ground. Jesus' feelings, His anxiety had not caught up with Him yet when He was still making the decision to actively surrender this to the Lord. It's very important. Many times we think if our feelings don't catch up, then we haven't actively surrendered. No, actively surrendering is a decision of the mind, not what our feelings may happen to agree with that decision. Our feelings may not catch up with us. I don't know what is making you anxious this morning. I don't know what it is in your life right now that has that tendency to be that thing that's stirring up in your gut or racking over, you're going over and over and over again in your mind. I don't know what that is. But I want to encourage you this morning. Don't worry about your feelings. For right now, don't worry about those. Make a decision in your mind that says, God is God. He's the Creator of all. He's holding me in his hand. He will never leave me or forsake me. He will never allow something in my life, a temptation in my life that I cannot handle. He will never allow something that is too great for me. I actively surrender this to the Lord. We're going to take a few minutes. Andrea is going to come up and sing, "Draw Me Nearer." I want to encourage you as she sings to take that situation, that anxiety, that worry, that fear, and make a decision that says, "Lord, I can't control this. You are the Creator, God. You are sovereign, God. You are all-powerful, God. Therefore, I am going to open up my hand and I am going to surrender that to you." Our Heavenly Father, we do ask you, God, to draw us nearer to your heart, nearer to the place where we see how good and gracious you really are. Father, I would ask that you would give us the grace to actively surrender these areas to you. Father, even if the feelings are still there, Lord, that we would make a decision in our mind that you are able to so much better handle these situations, handle these anxieties. Father, that you can take the weight. Father, you can take these things, God, because you are God and you are our God. So, Father, even in these moments now, we actively give, we actively surrender these over to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. LAPD. L stands for what? Look up. A stands for what? Actively surrender. We are at P. P. After we have actively surrendered, we persevere in prayer until peace. That's three P's. That's a bonus. We persevere in prayer until peace flows in. This is going to the Lord in prayer, seeking peace. Now our desire is that our feelings would begin to catch up with what our mind has decided. There are many verses that talk about this. Two of the most favorite ones are Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Prayer. Now look at the result of that, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," that means that it is God's peace that goes beyond, that excels what makes sense to us. See, beyond understanding. If understanding dwells here, see, understanding would say, you should be anxious about that. That should make you freak out. If I was in your shoes, I'd be anxious too. See, this is a peace that goes beyond understanding. It surpasses it. It is a peace that is greater than what would make sense. This is a peace that surpasses understanding. Look what it will do. It will literally guard. That is a military term to set a hedge around. It is as if there is a guard, a hedge, a battalion guarding your hearts. See, that's where your feelings dwell. And your minds, that's where your thoughts go in Christ Jesus. See, there is a peace that is available to us. Verse 6 told us that it comes through prayer. Verse 7 tells us all the beautiful pictures of it. Now, this is a twofold prayer. I want to encourage you with something because I think many times we just pray one of these two prayers. Number one, we ask God for peace because it is who He is. We ask the Lord for peace because He is the God of peace. You see, the peace of God. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is a characteristic of God Himself. And so we have to go to God for that peace because we can't will that up in our own minds and in our own hearts. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so anxious and you've been praying so hard and peace is elusive? You ever experienced that? Thank you. Sometimes we are praying and we don't pray for the fact that, God, I'm desiring peace. This is because this is who you are. But now here's the second part of that prayer. I must pray that I loosen my grip on the situation. The second part of my persevering prayer to peace is that I loosen my grip on the situation. You see, because when anxiety is there, when worry is there, and when fear is there, I've assumed control. I have taken control. Now, it may be, and this is what it was for me this week. Sometimes we have what I like to call a false sense of control. Sometimes we think we are in control over things that we are really not in control over. Sometimes we want to be in control over things that, you know what, we're just not in control over that. So it might be a false sense of control, but either way, we've grabbed, look at the anxiety in my fingers when I hold my fists so tight. See, the second part of the prayer is, Lord, will you please help me to loosen my grip? Will you please help me to relinquish control over this thing that I have very clearly grabbed a hold of? And we pray that God gives us peace because it's who he is. And then we pray that we relinquish the control of that situation over to the Lord. We pray with perseverance. We pray with diligence until peace flows in. Have you ever heard of the story of Jacob? He was one of the founding fathers of the faith. When he wrestled with God all night. You ever remember that story where he sort of persevered, and it's kind of this picture of persevering prayer? Jacob wrestling with God. I love that story. I think there's an insight in that story that I want to just touch on. I'm not going to go deep into this story, but there's something powerful. Genesis 32, starting in verse 24. Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. It's referred to as a man, and he's referred to as God. So many believe this is a pre-Jesus that Jacob was. Jesus is wrestling with Christ. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. It caused a limp that Jacob would have forever. When we wrestle with the Lord, it may change the way we walk. It may change some things about us. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, look at Jacob's perseverance with the Lord. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob wrestled with the Lord because he wanted a blessing. Have you ever wrestled with the Lord because you wanted peace so bad? You wanted the anxiety to go away. You didn't want to worry about whatever this was that you were worrying about anymore. See, Jacob was seeking a blessing from the Lord. But now look at what happens here. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Verse 27, and he said to him, what is your name? He asked Jacob. And he said, Jacob. Then he said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Now this is very important. Then Jacob asked him. Remember, Jacob went in seeking a blessing. But now Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. We see Jacob moving. We see a movement in Jacob's prayer life from seeking a blessing to wanting to know, who are you? What is your name? Who are you? When he stopped seeking the blessing and started seeking a greater understanding of the blesser, look what came, the blessing. Do you see that? Many times we seek the blessing so hard, and the blesser is saying, seek me. We seek what he can do more than we seek him. When Jacob moved from, give me a blessing, to what is your name? Who are you? Can I know about you? Then the blessing came. Listen to this. When you're racked with anxiety, when fear and worry are overwhelming you, seek Jesus, not the peace that Jesus can give you. Seek Christ. Find out who he is. Allow your perspective in prayer to change, and all of a sudden you might find peace flowing in like a river. Many times we seek the blessing of God above seeking God himself. Yet when we seek God himself, the blessing of God, the elusive peace, flows in like a river. You see, there's no Father, there's no God that just wants to be sought for what he can do for you. He wants relationship. He wants you. He wants love. He wants you to know him. He wants you to see him. But so many times when we're racked with fear and anxiety, all we can think is, I just need relief. I just need relief from this anxiety. And I'll do anything for relief. And so subtly we seek relief more than we seek the reliever. See, Jacob moved from seeking a blessing to saying, what is your name? Tell me about you. I'd like to know your heart. And then the blessing flowed in. We're going to take another moment, and the next song is called The Prayer that we're going to listen to. This one is especially special for me personally. This is my niece, Courtney, and my nephew, Nicholas, that are going to be playing this. I'm so proud of them in so many ways. I love them deeply. This is a proud uncle moment. Thanks for allowing me. Second service doesn't get this, by the way. You're thankful you got up early. They're wonderful musicians. They're even better young people. Courtney's heading off to Bethel, and I just love these two. They're going to be performing a song called The Prayer. Again, I would encourage you to use this as a time to reflect and to ask the Lord, God, do I ever seek your blessing more than I seek you? So take this time to reflect and to appreciate this song. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would give us the faith to persevere in prayer. Father, that we would seek you in prayer when we are going through times of anxiety. Father, I pray that we would seek you more than we seek what you can give us. Help us, Father, to desire relationship with you even to a greater degree than we would desire the peace that passes understanding. Father, we thank you that we can wrestle in this way. We can seek you in this way. We can desire you in this way, and peace like a river will flow into our lives. We love you. Help us to persevere in prayer until peace. In Jesus' name, amen. L-A-P-D. L stands for what? Look up. A stands for actively surrender. P stands for persevere in prayer until peace. Our final letter is D. D stands for do the right thing. Do the right thing. Now we move out and we do what we should do. Very important. We now make decisions based on faith, not on fear. So we no longer let our fear make our decisions for us. We make them now based out of faith. We figure out in the middle of these situations, there are still probably things we can do. And we can do the right thing, walk by faith, versus do the wrong thing, make decisions out of fear. Let me give you a couple examples. This is not exhaustive in any way. This is just three that I've probably dealt with. If you fear your child's spiritual condition, operating out of fear will cause you to slam that down their throat. Force them to love Jesus. That's impossible, but we can try. Making a decision out of faith says you will invest in their lives spiritually, encouraging them to make the faith their own, living out your faith in front of them with confidence and humility. Fear decision versus faith decision. Maybe you fear having a very difficult and yet needed conversation with a person. Fear says, no thanks. Not going to have that conversation. Faith says, I will have the conversation and I will speak the truth in the package of love. See, I make my decision now no longer based in fear, but based in faith. Maybe you feel the Lord encouraging you to get involved in a ministry, but you don't have all the answers, and you like all the answers. That makes you human. But rather than saying no and figuring out why you can't do this ministry that the Lord is stirring you up to do, out of fear, you say, you know what? No, I'm going to do this other stuff instead. Out of faith, you say, even though I don't have all the answers, even though I may not feel equipped, even though I may have never went to seminary or been a pastor in my life, that was scary, my friends, coming here and standing up and supposedly sharing God's word with people who I knew a whole bunch more about God's word than I did. That was scary. See, but walking by faith says, you know what, I'm going to do it in spite of the fear that I feel. I'm going to follow the Lord. So what do? We do the right thing. God calls us. Walking with Jesus is facing your fear and doing the right thing. That's what walking with Jesus is. It's facing your fear and doing the right thing. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember the fiery furnace? Remember, if you haven't read it, you can check it out. It's Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue, a golden image, and he said, everybody's got to bow down to this thing. And if you don't bow down when the music starts playing, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And so everybody, all his officials and all his people, they all said, whoa, think bowing down beats the heat. So they all bowed down to this image. Well, it was found out that three guys didn't bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king gets furious. I mean furious. Let's read about what happened. Daniel 3. Doing the right thing in the face of fear. Daniel 3, starting in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Is this true? Are you nuts? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, guys were in kilts apparently. Scots were there. And every kind of music, if you are ready when the music plays to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Okay, that's a scary. That gave me shivers just reading that. Could you mock God any more than that? Who's the God? I'm the God. Okay, that's a different sermon. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That's boldness. That's facing a fear. If this be so, our God, whom we will serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. That's a statement of faith. But now look at verse 18. This is one of the most powerful statements. But if not, you see what they just said? But if not, even if we burn, O king, if not, that's a powerful statement. That's even a greater statement than says, God will deliver. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Doesn't matter, king, we're going to do the right thing. We are going to do the right thing in spite of this fear, in spite of this worry, in spite of what you say, O king, we're going to do the right thing. Even if we have to die, even if this costs us our lives, we are going to do the right thing. Even if I don't get better, even if this relationship isn't mended, even if my finances don't turn around, oh Lord, I will serve you. Even if, oh God, it doesn't go as I think it should go, even if it's confusing, oh Lord, I will serve you. Do the right thing. See, we all have times of fear. I realized this week, I went through this process with my own deep fear in my heart, and peace flowed in like a river, and I gave it to the Lord, and I felt like I did the right thing. And later that day, a different anxiety made its way into my life. Can I get an amen? Have you ever just gotten over one and another one flows in like a river? You see, this process is something that we will go through for the rest of our lives, my friends. We will go through this. We get through one. We deal with one. Peace flows in like a river. Something else is right on its tail. Something else is following close behind. Why is this so important? Because through these trials, through these situations, through these things that we can't control, through these things that we don't like, through the brokenness, we learn to trust Him. We learn to surrender it all. We learn to hold our very lives with open hands. That is why L, A, P, and D are so important. Here's the review. L stands for what? Look up. A, we what? Actively surrender in our mind. P, we persevere in prayer until peace. And D, we do the right thing. I don't know what it is that is causing you anxiety in your life in this moment. I don't know what that deep-seated fear could be, but there's probably something. And as you L, A, P, D, as you learn to surrender these things to the Lord, fall on your knees in worship, say, whether or not, God, you answer this in the way that I want, I will serve you. Peace that passes all understanding will flow into your life and flow into your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you and we worship you that you are God. You are our God. You are the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. You hold us in the palm of your hand, God, and so does your son, Jesus. You promised you will never leave us or forsake us. And at the same time, you have promised that this will not be an easy road, that there will be things that will cause us to be afraid. There will be things that cause worry and anxiety. And yet at the same time, God, you have promised that as we release those things to you, peace that passes understanding can flow in like a river. Father, help us to learn to regularly go through this process and do the right thing. Walk by faith. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing one more song to close. And the song is entitled, The Stand. There's all faith, not by fear, not by sight. I will walk this walk that God has set me on, trusting in the Lord that He has plans for my life. He has purposes for my life. He will not allow anything that is not a part of His plan. I will walk by faith. I'll surrender it all to the Lord. God bless you this week. I hope you have a wonderful week. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, come on forward. We have our prayer team. Otherwise, come on out for some fellowship. Have a great week. God bless.